listening to Everyday Engineering, the City of Madison's engineering podcast, where we talk about infrastructure. Complex topics explained simply. From the water that flows down your drain to the rain and snow that drains into the lakes. By way, the curbs and streets we design. City engineering touches your life in so many ways. Explained right now in Everyday Engineering. You've seen them plenty of times, and they're usually quite pretty, but they actually serve a very important purpose. One that you may not know until now, because you're listening to Everyday Engineering. Today, we are talking about ponds, and we have City of Madison Engineering Division Stormwater Engineers Grant Pocus and Phil Gabler joining us. Thanks so much for being here.
And thanks for having me.
Let's talk ponds today. Yeah?
Yeah.
Don't jump in all at once. Yeah. Okay, so here's where we need to lay some foundation first. Before anybody starts talking about ponds, what do you do day to day? And introduce yourself, and how does that intersect with ponds?
Okay.
Grant, do you want to start?
Sure. Day to day, I design ponds, I answer questions. Ponds are a lot of what I do. When the city needs some stormwater treatment or ponds, I take it through design, through construction, and maintenance, and I'm there for questions.
You're kind of the pond man.
This is awesome. I would say before I worked at the city, I designed over 100 ponds. So
I learn something new every day. That's awesome, Grant. Okay, Phil, what do you do and how does it intersect?
A big part of my job is to review pond designs. Before Grant was at the city, I actually reviewed a lot of the ponds and plans that he made. And I was like, oh, this guy knows what he's doing. We should bring him in.
Let's bring in the pond man. This is great.
So, yeah, I look at it from, new plat development, how a lot of ponds are used to meet the stormwater requirements, and then also the water quality goals for the whole city. Ponds can do water quality management. And so I model ponds. So I take the physical pond and I turn it into a little bit of computer code, and there we go. We get a number.
And you get a number. You know, I think this kind of topic, purpose of a pond, really came up after, I mean, I've been sitting in a ton of stormwater kind of meetings over the last few years, and there are always questions about ponds. What is a pond supposed to do? A lot of people think ponds are just there to be pretty. Some understand, some do, some don't. Ponds are always a big conversation starter. The city has roughly, I'm saying, 300 ponds on stormwater utility-owned land. So first, what does that mean? And I guess when it comes to stormwater utility-owned land, if people aren't familiar with what that means.
I think I can take this one to start.
Sure.
So when a new development comes into the city of Madison, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a stormwater management plan. And kind of specific to Madison, when those, the ponds at the bottom of the hill usually, that are slowing down the water and treating that water, those are put into a section of land that is then given to the city. And the city takes over the maintenance of those ponds forever.
Ah, so that's what it means to have stormwater utility owned land.
Right. And then those ponds will spill out into a greenway. So it's this interconnected drainage network that is all owned by the city.
Okay. And then the next question, what exactly is a pond? It sounds so simple. It's just, water in the back. But what exactly, in both of your opinions, I guess, in your point of view, what exactly is a pond and what is the actual purpose of a pond? Pond man, Grant?
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of different kinds of ponds, and they're defined by specific words. But in general, a pond is maybe a green area that collects water.
A green area.
Yeah.
That collects water.
Yep.
Okay.
And I guess the ponds that I design the most would be detention ponds.
Okay.
Which take water from upstream, like Phil was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Clean the water and maybe reduce the peak flow before going downstream.
Okay, so peak flow, what does that mean?
Well, in development, as we develop areas, more water runs off from rain.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're doing is trying to keep that flow kind of close to what it was in existing conditions.
Okay, Phil?
Yeah, so I think Grant covered that well. Like when you think about that peak reduction, right?
Mm-hmm.
I like to think of it kind of as a bathtub, right? So if you have a bathtub and you have the water on just a little bit, right? The water that comes in, you hardly get any water on the bottom of your tub, it goes down the drain. Mm-hmm. Now, if you crank it full blast and, you know, maybe you drop a washcloth in and it's clogging that drain a little bit, you'll start to back up water because the flow in is faster than the flow going out. And that's what ponds do for rainstorms, right? As the water comes in really fast, it just slows everything down. It says, hey, pump the brakes, water. Mm-hmm. You're going to hang out for a little bit. And, you know, part of being a stormwater designer is you match those, you know, the reduction in that release rate, right? You slow mm-hmm. that water down just enough to maximize all the storage you built in your pond.
And that's what it's supposed to do. That is the true purpose of a pond.
Right.
Okay. Correct. Okay. Wow. We're getting engineering-y today, but this is good. Yeah. Trying to unpack it. Technically, it's a piece. It's like one option in our kind of whole folder of stormwater infrastructure tools, right? So like in that like toolbox of, we have an area that is it has an issue with stormwater, whether it be too much, what have you. This is one, right? We have ponds, we have greenways. What else do we have in that toolbox for stormwater infrastructure?
We have places where we can let that water soak away, right? So we call those infiltration basins or bioretention or rain gardens. We've talked to those on the show before. But if you think about ponds, you kind of have three flavors, right? You could build a pond out of concrete, right? You could make it be a swimming pool.
Yeah. Where
the water comes in, all you do is slow it down. You drain it out the bottom. You're not even going to collect any sediment in there. Mm-hmm. It's just everything's going to flush through, but you slow it down. Maybe you'll get a little sand and gravel in there. Your next tier is that you then try to do water quality, and so you're designing it so that all that sediment drops out, gets stuck in the pond.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one is to slow water down, clean it, and then put it through something where it soaks into the ground, so you're matching really what used to happen on that landscape, you know, before you developed it, right? Mm-hmm. A fair amount of water soaks into the ground, the water coming off is relatively clean, and you know, if you do it right, you also get some decent habitat out of it.
Yeah, like herb tiles, if I'm saying it correctly. I've been learning about those with the Wexford pond dredging. But yeah, so I guess, why do we get all this confused? There's a lot more to ponds. I mean, we're getting really deep into it right now, which is good. But I guess, why do we get so confused? People do get confused about ponds and their purpose. Why do they keep getting confused about it? Why do we often hear questions? And what sort of questions do you hear that people ask about ponds? What do you hear?
Well, I think people are starting to understand that ponds are part of the infrastructure and see them.
They're not just there for pretty?
Right, but they are pretty. The city does a great job at maintaining them. We have a great vegetation staff, so they feel great. And I think mostly I get questions on what do they do. Mm-hmm. Like Phil said before, they clean the water, they reduce the flow, and kind of help downstream.
Mm-hmm.
There's also questions sometimes I'll be asked if this is going to flood an area, which they're designed not to do that. I mean, we look at them long and hard, so they'll release downstream before they ever flood anything around them.
So you want a pond by you?
I would want one.
You'd want a pond?
I like how they feel.
I'd want one too. Mm-hmm. And then
people, we might be a little biased.
but people do have questions regarding like how that pond impacts their life. And questions are like, well, can I walk around the pond? Yeah, you can walk around the pond. Is it dangerous?
Is it going to freeze?
Can I fish in it? Is it going to be mosquitoes? Uh-huh. What does this pond actually, like, how does it fit into my community? People ask those questions. And right, our ponds are monitored for mosquitoes. And occasionally they'll put in some, public health will put in these little pucks that help mosquito larvae not turn into an adult mosquito. They also release fish. They eat little fish, and they'll eat the mosquito larvae. So,
okay. Well, this is good.
Can a pond have a small increase in mosquito population in the localized area? Yeah. Are there lots of places in Madison that produce mosquitoes? Yes.
Yeah.
The benefits definitely outweigh the disadvantage for mosquitoes, in my opinion. When you look at it, well, does it freeze over, and can I ice skate on it?
Yes.
Maybe not the best idea, because these ponds have pipes that come into them, and when you get a melt, mm-hmm. and you can have relatively warm water coming off of a street.
I can't play pond hockey.
You can, but there's lots of great places in Madison that are kind of planned to maintain for pond hockey.
Okay.
Your detention basin might not be the best spot.
Okay.
Same for fishing, right? Most of these ponds are designed to freeze to the point that you're not going to have, you know, fishable fish in there.
Okay.
Maybe just some little minnows here and there.
Okay.
Also, they're designed to capture all the nasty junk that comes off of our roads.
Yeah.
You probably don't want to eat those fish.
Yeah.
You know?
They don't have,
So don't eat fish out of a detention basin. If you do decide to go fish in a detention basin, you're probably not going to catch much, and then just throw it back.
Okay.
Also, don't put your goldfish in the detention basin.
Oh, no.
They're little pigs. They goldfish are carp, and carp like to root around in the bottom. They stir up all that sediment that we spent all this time, money, and effort trying to capture. Keep your goldfish at home or give them to someone else who wants them if you don't want them anymore.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't release them in the pond. Don't release them in the lake. Invasive species. Don't do it.
Okay, you're done with your soapbox now. I did not know that this was going to spin off into an episode about goldfish. But that's true. Don't put stuff in it. Don't put stuff in it. Don't put fish, goldfish in it. Okay,
yeah.
I heard you. Okay, I heard you. What is a dry pond and what is a wet pond? Did we kind of already go through that a little bit, or... I guess.
I think a dry pond is a pond that stays only wet during rain events. It'll fill up and work like that bathtub that Phil said,
okay.
But it'll completely drain out. Where a wet pond has a wet pool at the bottom, and it always has water in it.
Okay. Why would you do a dry pond? Would that be to just create some temporary space for the water to drain?
Right. Yeah, so dry ponds are really in that
one. Am I learning?
Yeah, they're really in that one trick kind of pond, right? All they do is control peak. And that's because if you capture sediment, right, you then get this big flush of water during the next rainstorm. It resuspends a lot of it and pushes it downstream. So you don't get that water quality benefit or nearly as much as you do if you have our wet ponds have a 5-foot deep pool of water.
Mm-hmm.
And so as new water comes in, the existing pool kind of buffers the energy of that water, slows it down enough that it doesn't resuspend all the sediment you caught, especially if you don't have carp in there.
The carp or goldfish. How would we use either of them in the real world? Can you give examples of maybe in our community of an area? I'm kind of putting you on the spot for that, but if somebody was like, oh, I want to go see what a dry pond looks like, where would they go?
Sycamore Dog Park.
Okay.
So if you're at the Sycamore Dog Park and you go east, so it's Sycamore and Tompkins intersection, pretty much, there's a big field there. That's a dry pond. It
looks like a field?
It looks just like a field, and there's some cattails on one end. And then you come up and there's a soccer field, and then there's the dog park, and that's a pretty typical dry detention basin.
But there's purpose there. It's not just a field of whatever.
Right.
Great. Okay, and then examples of wet ponds that people would be familiar with.
I would say right now there's one being built out by the Easttown Mall to kind of treat the stormwater coming from there that was built before rules that we have today. So that would be off of East Springs, and there's a lot of construction going there. There's a couple really neat big ones that me and Phil worked on before I came here, like Acacia Ridge on the far west side, and Autumn Lake on the east side. Those are larger ponds treating a whole development.
Why does it make it neat, in your opinion?
Isn't
a pond a pond?
I think because I'm an engineer.
Yeah.
They're huge systems. Yes. I mean, they're big ponds. You're going to look at them and go,
this is impressive. Yeah. There was a lot of work that went into this.
For sure.
And you have appreciation for the pond.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. People, go ahead.
I was going to say, in Westtown Pond, like a lot of people, Odana and Gammon Road, there's a fair amount of commercial development there across from the high school that's out there that I forgot the new name of.
That's okay.
But it's a really big detention basin, wet pond. You know, people use it for...
Soccer,
do boats. There's
it?
Soccer in the floodplain. That area all is designed to flood, so your game might get canceled due to floodwaters if we get a big rainstorm.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of recreational uses of that pond as well, just water quality.
And that is a dry pond?
That's a wet pond.
A wet pond.
Yeah, so it has...
But it drains.
No, Westtown Pond stays wet.
Oh, Westtown.
There's a big pool of water there, and people do boat, remote control boat things, and... All sorts of fun stuff.
All the stuff. Okay. It just kind of seems silly to be calling ponds a dry pond and a wet pond. A pond is a pond, but I guess I understand a little bit better now.
Yeah.
Having a pond near your house does it create more of a risk for flooding?
A detention basin? I wouldn't think so. They're designed. We spend a lot of time looking at them, seeing what's around them, and making sure water doesn't go into them, goes downstream before it goes into any structures in the area.
Yeah, that's good. What about dredging for wet ponds? That typically includes kind of scraping out the sediment out of the bottom.
Yeah, so these ponds
people
are
talk
just,
about dredging a lot. Everyone's like, I want this part dredged. I need this dredged. I need this dredged. Maybe it's the lake. Maybe it's the ponds. Talk to me about dredging.
So our ponds are designed to capture all the sediment that comes off of the city, right? So it flows in, it slows down, and you know, a lot of the stuff is sand, and then you get silts and clays. You get very small stuff, but over time, right, they're kind of designed to have about a 20-year life. That sediment builds up, especially if it's designed right, it doesn't get flushed through, it stays there. And when that sediment gets to 3 feet from the surface of the water, it's time to
scoop it out.
So usually you either draw down the pond, make it dry, and helps to get that sediment to consolidate, or you come in and you just do hydraulic dredging where you have a tube, a giant straw with a blender on the end, and you suck up all the muck at the bottom, then you have to dewater it, dry it out. Depending on how nasty it is, you either land apply it or you put it in a landfill.
Isn't it just like dirt?
No.
It's not.
Not dirt.
It's yuckies. It's
yucks.
Yeah. Yeah, we're using really technical terms today.
Your tires, right?
What?
You know how your tire tread goes away and then you go to get your flat fill or flat fixed and they're like, "Oh, we can't put this tire back on. You get to buy a whole new set."
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, that rubber, right, goes into our detention basins. Anything you put anywhere goes into our detention basins and we capture it. Your brakes, as they wear down, that brake dust goes in.
The dust.
Everything from the street.
Everything from the street. Your leaves, if you leave your leaves in the street and don't rake them off, that gets in there. When there's construction erosion, that gets in there. The sand we put out on the street in the winter so you don't slip and slide, that goes in there.
Yuck.
But the dredging means the pond's working. It's holding it in the pond where we want it.
Oh, so you like dredging as music to your ears?
I wouldn't say I like dredging, but it means that the pond's doing its function.
Sure. So the purpose is it's okay.
Yep.
Wow. There's also an episode on leaf management, many of them, if you're interested, on Everyday Engineering. Okay. If anyone's listening or watching and they have one thing that you want them to know about ponds after clicking stop on this episode, what do you want them to know about ponds and the work we do? Last question.
I would say that they help out our whole, the whole city's stormwater infrastructure. They help keep the lakes clean, help kind of mitigate floods, and they're a really nice natural part of our environment. And the city really takes pride in maintaining them.
Yeah, I'd say they're a great intersection between form and function where it serves this purpose, right? That we need so we don't flood people out downstream as we do development and we can better match the way water used to run off of our landscape. But they also provide a lot of green space, a lot of places for people to walk around and enjoy kind of natural ecosystems, semi-natural ecosystems.
Sure.
So with that, try to refrain from doing your own maintenance, right? When you mow native landscapes, native prairies that we put around here too much, too early, or at the wrong interval, you can kind of mess them up. So leave that to it's the city's job to maintain that, kind of leave it to the city, and enjoy those intersections of form and recreation.
Wonderful. Did you know we actually have a website specifically dedicated, or a web page, I should say, on our website, specifically dedicated to ponds? And just search Ponds of City of Madison Engineering. Thank you both for being here. Ponding. we ponded and we talked, and we also have the pond man. We have the salt man and the pond man. This is great. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for listening. If you have a question or a comment about anything we talked about today, please write into our Facebook page, City of Madison Engineering Division, because as always, we're here for you as a resource every day in engineering.